Yo, what's going on, everybody? It is 3 p.m. here in Chicago, Illinois. That means it's time for another live stream. Today is February 27th, 2021. It is a Saturday, and it is an absolutely beautiful Saturday here in Chicago, an unseasonably warm day. It's going to be like 50 degrees here. I don't know what that converts to in Celsius. I'm pretty sure it's about like, I don't know. I'm not even going to venture a guess, but I'm going to guess 10. I'm pretty sure that's wrong, but it's going to be 50 degrees Fahrenheit here today. It's just absolutely fantastic. Quick update on kind of the hamstring situation. I went on a very easy run today, 6 miles, super, super easy pace, and for the most part felt really good. There was a couple of parts where I was like, ooh, I was feeling really good. And so and like thing, the pace kind of accidentally picked up and I was like, nope, gotta take it easy. But as long as I could keep it easy and I stayed under like 140 beats, I think was the max for the entire run, not the average, but the max. But other than that, you know, I just felt really, really good. So very promising, feeling very good. And the weather was just so nice, such nice weather. After the run, the girls, we all went out, my two daughters and my wife, we all went out for a nice family walk. We went for a 4 mile walk and then played in the playgrounds. Cause in Lincoln Park now, by the lakefront, the playgrounds are open again. So we were able to go to those and they played and it was absolutely amazing. So we spent like a good 2 hours and change outside today, which again was also good for the hamstring, just getting some more active recovery, walking around felt really good. So just a really fantastic day. Now everyone's kind of tired from too much fresh air. So it's a little bit, and like the sun is just beating down on the apartment now. So it's like everyone's a little bit sleepy, but I am energized. I'm feeling great because not only did I have a good day, but I just got off of a impromptu Instagram line with Jamie. He has been, I was just looking at Instagram before the live stream and I saw that he was live. And then I went in and watched and then he invited me to be in the video. So I was in the video for a minute. So we had a good laugh there. So definitely a good time. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. But first, let's welcome everybody. I said that like it was going to be a commercial, but it's not a commercial. There's no commercials on these. Not yet. No one's stepped up and wanted to sponsor these. But first, I want to say hi to everyone listening on the podcast, the audio-only version. Welcome. Hopefully, you guys are having a good run out there today or having a good time getting some work done or getting your commute done. Welcome. Right now, I'm shaking up this is my Nalgene. I've been talking about my Nalgene. I usually don't use it to like mix up drinks that I'm drinking on the live stream because it's blue. You know, the plastic is tinted and it like messes up with the color of what I'm drinking. But I'm just drinking some the last tablet in the Science and Sport. They make little tablets as well, electrolyte tablets, and I just wanted to have a drink with me today for the live stream, so I'm mixing that up. Anyone that's watching this on YouTube, not live but still checking it out, welcome, glad to have you here as well. All right, let's see who's here live. Sarah Mims is here. She says, listening in and doing some food prep in the kitchen, and she listened to the Drop podcast today for the first time and she had to turn the volume way up to hear, especially Thomas. I noticed differing podcasts have differing volumes. Yes, I noticed that a lot with YouTube videos. I noticed that some with like the normal YouTube videos, like the collection of YouTube videos that I watch, but I really notice it with the YouTube videos that my kids watch because they like to watch YouTube on the TV sometimes. And sometimes it'll just be like regular volume and then the next video will be like cranked super loud and the next one will be super quiet. So like it definitely jumps around a lot. But I have noticed, I haven't noticed that Thomas isn't that loud, but he does mumble a little bit. Which I can relate to that because I do that too. But what I have noticed is that I listen to it in earbuds, usually when I ever listen to that podcast. And I don't know if other people, if they do it intentionally or what, but when they do it, the person that's calling in only shows up in my left earbud. And then when I hear them talking, it's in both earbuds. So that's always kind of like distracting whenever I do that. But that's one thing that I've noticed. But otherwise, I felt like the sound quality is usually pretty good. I've been really enjoying their podcast a lot. I've been listening to it like every single time. Like as soon as it pops up in like my feed, I'm like, yo, yeah, I want to listen to that one today. Chrissy says, hope everyone is having a great weekend. Postponing work duties by been watching Netflix, Age of Samurai, Battle for Japan. That sounds pretty cool. And Chrissy has got another new avatar pick today. That one looks like a lot of fun, Chris. Good to see you. I haven't seen that before. Age of Samurai, Battle of Japan. I feel like that would be right up my alley. I think I might like that. And Sarah Mim says, sounds like that might possibly be about the Meiji Japan era. Yeah, I'm not familiar with Japanese history like that. And it says, hi, Kofuzi and everyone. Great weather here just now. First run in shorts today. That's amazing. awesome. While we were out walking with the family, I saw a guy, like I told my wife, like, I think today is like a long sleeve shirt and like a medium jacket, like a lighter jacket. And she didn't believe me. So she put on the long sleeve shirt, a pullover, and then the jacket. And like 5 minutes into the walk, she was like, you were totally right. Which, you know, I think, you know, I can count on one hand the times she said that before. But because there's, I can count on one hand the times that I've been right before. But yeah, it was warm. It was warm. And we were out there, and early on we saw like a dude running with no shirt on. And I was like, there's always that guy. But then I was like, yeah, he's not wrong. Because when I went for a run, it was maybe 15 degrees cooler than when we were out there for a walk, even though it was only like 2 hours later. But it was substantially warmer, and the sun was nice and toasty. So he was out there with no shirt, and I was like, there's always that guy. But then like a couple minutes later, I was looking at everyone else still wearing like kind of like what I wore in the morning. And yeah, I could see everyone was sweating through their shirt and then their jacket. So everyone's jackets were wet. So I was like, oh, I don't know. The shirtless guy might have been right. And then I saw a lot of people out there by like the end of our walk, which was closer to like noon or a little bit after the noon hour. A lot of people were out there with shorts and long sleeves. And I was like, ah. See, that's sometimes why I wish I could run in the middle of the day, but I usually don't. But yeah, the weather's changing fast. I mean, I feel like what's going to happen in Chicago is like, it'll be great now. And then usually like around St. Patrick's Day, and then right around like opening day for baseball, which happens like around April, like it frequently snows for opening day around here, which is why like a lot of times like the Chicago teams don't have their first game of the season. Their home openers are much later than their opening day games. Usually, I think. Yeah. So like it's warm now. It's 50 degrees today now, but like, you know, in another couple of weeks, we'll be back like under freezing again, which I don't think is too bad. And, you know, once we kind of like break, I feel like we've broken the spell. Like we've gotten past the hump, the hardest part of winter. So I'm feeling very optimistic, feeling very good today. Terrence is hi. David Prabhu says happy Saturday. Awesome. Mark Salzman's here. He's watching the Tom and Jerry funny movie. I don't think I've ever seen that one. Spanish Heart 18 says, happy Saturday, everyone. Snow flurries at -21°C. Whoa, in Winnipeg. That's chilly. It's very chilly. Just finished my run in time for the live stream. Welcome. I hope you warm up. Whew, that's chilly. CR says, hi, everyone. Delighted to say that I heard back from Aftershock about my AirPods headphones that kept powering off on their own. And they're sending a new pair. Well, that's great customer service. Always love to hear that. Fantastic. Leona says, happy Saturday, all. Glad the hamstring is better. Had a nice and slow math. 17 miles the same. Ooh, nice. That's a lot. That's a lot of math. That must have taken a while, because I know for me, a 17-mile math run would have taken several hours. Awesome. Great work. All right. My comments all just jumped toward the bottom, because I think I'm running a little bit behind. Sorry about that. All right. Joy Del Rosario says, Kofuzi, how did you get the Nike Invincible Run? They haven't released those yet on the Nike site. Yeah, I saw an update that I think it's going to be March something. The data slipped to March something. Well, I mean, it's February 27th. I think I want to say March 11th is the data I saw. But they send them to me. So I got them. So that's how I got them early. I didn't buy them. All right. Stevie76 said, the dude today at a local 5K wore Speedos, in parentheses, statement made. Yeah, that's a statement. That's a big statement. Matt says, what's going on, Matt? Says, Co, what hydration? And I just realized today, Matt, I've been looking at this avatar for Matt. He's been showing up every day, or I don't know, but I think every day for a very long time. And I just realized now that I knew that it was a fish, but I just realized today that it's a fish on a bicycle. He says, Co, what hydration do you recommend for a run of 15 to 20 miles to drink during the run? Yeah, I mean, I'm very lucky that like a lot of the drinks, none of the drinks really disagree with me, but I would definitely look for something with sugar, something that has some salt. So those are like the two main things that I'd be looking for. Something that I've been drinking a lot of lately is the Gatorade Endurance formula. As far as I can tell, the only difference between Gatorade and Gatorade Endurance is a little bit more sugar and a lot more salt, regular Gatorade does have a decent amount of salt, but the Endurance formula has a lot more salt, I believe. So that one I like. The price per serving is really good. And the flavor is like, it's Gatorade. It's never going to be bad. Unless you get to some of those blue colors. Then I'm always like, I'm not sure if I'm going to like this. But yeah, so I like that. Other drinks that I like, I really like Tailwind. It's very tasty. I really like their Colorado Cola and the green tea. It tastes like you're just drinking like a Snapple to me. It's really nice. I like that one. I also like Scratch. They make a really good drink. But that's more almost kind of like if you want something like juicy. And then I like the Unived one as well. It's very similar to me in flavor to the Gatorade. So those are some brands that I like as well. I've tried the Spring, but that tastes like a little too much like juice to me. And I just didn't, I don't know. I felt like I was just drinking regular juice. And I was like, I need for this to feel like a little bit more like, you know, specifically designed for sport nutrition. I don't know. I just need it to taste like not like regular juice for some reason. I don't know why I'm like that. But with my sport drink during a run, that's kind of like what I like. All right. Let's see what else we got. Rick Sutter says, what's up, all? What's going on, Rick? Roberto Davila is here again, says, hello, Kafuzian. What's going on, Roberto? Steven Gersdorf says, green and yellow and red, Gatorade only. Yeah, I like the greens. What's the yellow? Lemon, like the lemonade flavors? And then the red is delicious. Lemon lime I like because that's like the original flavor. Orange is usually pretty good too from Gatorade. I like the orange flavor. Martha says, when a drink is the same color as a Hyperion Temple Midsole, it's suspect. I mean, it makes it seem very unnatural. But at the same time, though, I just finished saying that, like, I like it to feel like a little bit like, you know, of a concoction. But still, like, the blue ones, it's not that I don't like the color. I do like the color of it a lot. But I just end up not liking the flavors as much. They just seem like they're made for kids to drink and not so much for me. Like it doesn't seem like it's like, you know, like the Gatorade family of products, and we had a whole range of, you know, needs. So that's kind of like how I feel about some of the blue flavors. I don't know. Maybe that's an irrational association with the colors, but that's just kind of where I'm at. Lejus Chung says, I always take Gatorade when going on a long, long hike. That's not a bad choice. I feel like I could drink a lot of Gatorade, I think. Got some votes for Scott says Hammer. Heed, is that like a kind of hammer? Is that what it is? Hammer is nice. See, I still don't think I've tried anything from Hammer before. I want to say, though, I bought some Hammer Nutrition, like the Hammer gels before. I just don't know. I don't remember eating them. I do remember buying them at one point. I don't know. And Lewis says, Body Armor has less sugar than Gatorade. Is that a good thing for you or not? See, some people don't want a lot of the sugar in their sport drink. So I know Gatorade makes a lot of like the zero, like Coke Zero, but they make Gatorade Zero. I don't think is it called Gatorade Zero? Something like that. They make like a sugar-free Gatorade. And like the Noon doesn't have sugar. I mean, they make a Noon with sugar now, but originally Noon like wasn't sugar, and that was the point. But yeah, I don't know. Tranquil Tree says, anyone remember Gatorade Gum? Flavor gum. I definitely remember Gatorade gum. I was the exact right age when Gatorade gum hit the market. I loved it. I got a big game coming up. Got a big meet coming up. I got to make sure I got my Gatorade gum. But I mean, people like, what is it? Run gum? So, yeah, that reminds me of, did you guys watch the Texas qualifier meet yesterday, the Trial of Miles and Cities Mag event down in Austin, that was live streamed on YouTube? Yesterday was kind of like, the people looking to hit the U.S. Olympic trials, the U.S. Olympic trials, I put the emphasis on the wrong word, the U.S. Olympic trials qualifying times. And today's going to be people that can hit that already, or maybe already have it, but are looking to satisfy Olympic qualifying standards. So it's a 2-day meet, but yesterday was the first day, and it was awesome. I had a really fun time watching it. And the chat was lively, very lively. Sometimes in a good way, a lot of times in a bad way, but sometimes in a good way. And one of the funnier things was people were like watching this race, and they were like, people are running real hard for a bunch of Nick Simmons run gum at the end. And I thought that was a pretty funny joke. I think I butchered it a little bit, but yeah. Because like a lot of people didn't know who was running, but you could tell like who had friends, you know, because then like all of a sudden like people, like the chat would get lively with a certain group of people cheering for someone. So that was kind of fun to see that. And what was really interesting was it started to get real like nasty for a little bit. Like when people were, yeah, it was just really weird in the way that running and can get bro-y. It got super bro-y real fast. And so at a certain point, people who were there to just cheer on like their family would be like, non-runner here, just wanted to cheer for my insert relation and then insert name. And so it'd be like, you know, non-runner here, just cheering for so-and-so. She's my granddaughter and I love her very much, you know? And in the meantime, people are like talking back and forth about how like Tin Man sucks or whatever sucks, and like so-and-so's not a great coach. And it was just really bizarre and funny and childish and entertaining, and just like all at certain times I had to turn off the chat too. Yeah. Stevie76 said that there were live drone shots at the Texas meet, which I thought was awesome. And I really thought, because I was looking around, I knew Jamie said he was going to be working the meet, and I was like, I didn't see him. Because I felt like, I don't know, like at that meet, I was like, it's pretty easy to pick out the black guys there. There's not a lot. But I still couldn't find Jamie anywhere. So I was like, where is he? So I'm like, he must be flying the drone. And then at one point during the meet, the drone like crashed into the goalposts at the, because inside the track is the football field. There was goalposts. Yeah, that's how it was set up, right? Because it hit a goalpost and the drone went down for a minute. And I was like, oh, Jamie's in trouble now. But I talked to him today and he wasn't the one flying the drone. He said he is going to get his drone up today, but he wasn't the one flying the drone up last night. But that was fun. Carl J says, the women's 5K was my favorite race last night. Definition of finishing strong. Yeah, what was her name? Limon? That was, and she had like the best interview of the night too. Like she was just super bubbly. Like what a great person. Great energy. That was a fun race to watch. And she's coming back for the 10K tonight. So she's racing again. So yesterday was, like a shakeout run. But she just killed it at the end. She had so much left. But that was a fun race to watch. That was really good. Yeah, and then for the men's side, Brian and Ali says, Engels is a beast. 5K FTW. That was fun to watch him. Because you know what? In the beginning of the race, he was at the back. I mean, that race had a lot of people in it. And he started out like probably in like the 25th percentile. He was back like, you know, only ahead of like three or four other people, it seemed. And I was like, what's going on here? I was like, I don't understand. This is so confusing. And then like the minute that in my mind I said that, you could see him like start to creep his way up. And then he just killed it at the end. That last 100 meters, he really turned it on. It was amazing. Luis said the two Mexican runners had a great finish on the 1500 and the 5000. Yeah. Yeah. Both of those races were really good. Good showing. Steven Gerzer said, don't mess with Texas. Nice. And Rob Van Spawn says, Out of Zero Audios Pro in a new orange colorway launched today on the app. I saw that today. That's a good shoe. That is a fun shoe. I really like it. If you like the Next Percent, I feel like this is a good, like a very natural thing that you might want to try next. And Martha says, gosh, I missed this race you're all talking about entirely. There's another, I mean, they're doing the same exact events. I think the same exact order, but like faster heats all tonight. Same thing. Citius Mag, CITIUSMAG account on YouTube. You can watch it free. I think it'll be available like tomorrow, you know, afterwards as well. I'm debating. The chat was fun last night. because everyone was there. Like, it was amazing how many people were there. In terms of like people, if you're like, you know, a fan of, I'm probably not the biggest track fan, but I'm a big fan of like running and YouTube. So a lot of people that I'm aware of were there. So that was a lot of fun. And, I really want to watch again tonight, but it's just like, I like pretty much took myself out of commission family wise for like 3 hours last night. That's a pretty expensive amount of time. I don't know if I could do that again, even though I really want to watch those races even more tonight than last night. So I might have to watch it again tomorrow morning. But maybe, so maybe we'll do that. All right, here's another comment that I wanted to make sure I got to. Oren says, my mom is getting me to find a running shoe for her. Middle-aged woman with arthritis and knee pain, so lots of cushion. Light stability shoe and not too heavy. Any suggestions? I think I would look at something with guide rails. So like, I haven't run in this one yet, but the Glide Ride might be the one to look at. Because I'm also thinking like the Invincible might be, not Invincible, the Infinity Run might be a good option for her as well. But the if she wants to go a little bit lighter, then there's the Launch. The Launch comes in the regular, and then the Launch like something. There are three letters after it. That is their like guide rail system version that I think might be a good fit as well. So I think that might work. Otherwise, if she wants a lot of cushion, you know, I think that the Nova Blast always comes to mind when I think of like a lot of cushion or like kind of just like a bunch of softness underfoot. But if you're worried about like light stability, that's not a good one. I saw a dude running in some Nova Blast today, and like I felt like the side part of like the heel collar was gonna touch the ground every time he took a step. I was just like, are you comfortable? I wanted to be like, are you comfortable? I mean, he was way ahead. He passed me and I saw him. I was like, I want to be like, are you comfortable? It doesn't look comfortable, but I'm sure he thought it was comfortable. But I'd also just consider the Clifton. I think that might be a good choice as well. I think that the Ride 13 also has a little bit of that stability in there, or maybe the Triumph might be a better choice. I would look probably at the Triumph first. But if I can relay experience from my wife, she was like, I thought she would love the Triumph. So I was like showing her on my phone. I was like, look at this. I think you're going to love this. Can I get this for you? And she was like, that shoe looks like a giant shoe. And she was just like, I don't like that at all. So it looked too runner shoe to her, I think. I don't think she liked it. So maybe I don't know. I love the look of the Triumph. And I don't think it looks like a big, bulky running shoe, but my wife certainly did. So, something else to think about. Someone was asking, Brian and Ali says, any take on the Nike spike that didn't get approval? I'm not familiar. Is it the Dragonfly? Is that they're not getting, that's not getting approval for which races? I'm not sure. Because, like, I felt like there was a new, I felt like a lot of people were running in the new Nike, in a new Nike spike yesterday. But is that you must be talking about a different Nike spike. I'm not that familiar with spikes. I don't know that much about it. I haven't worn a pair of spikes in about 20 years. Frank says the Viperfly. Is that the one that's got Zoom Air pockets in it too? That's an interesting shoe. I don't know. I don't really have too much of an opinion on spikes. I feel like aren't there height rules about height already in spikes? I feel like as long as it's following the rules on height, I'm okay with it. They've had lots of carbon and stuff for a long time, so that's not a new part of the conversation. But yeah, they talked about it a lot yesterday during the race, and people have been getting upset about it from a lot of these like indoor records falling. And I'm just like, I don't think it's the shoes, guys. I don't think it's the shoes. I think it's that people had a long time to train and focus their energy on training and spend time to like step back from racing for a second and make sure they were like dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's and getting real ready and now are super excited to race. I think that's what it is. Martha says, Ed Budd addressed the subject of that spike that is on a giant lever-like thing. It looks like a double-plated thing. Yeah, I think I know which one you're talking about. I mean, if it ends up being multiple carbon plates, which I believe there's a rule against, then it's against the rules. You know, but like, yeah, I mean, at some point, like, I just don't care about the spike technology all that much. And then there's like Pistorius's like super legs, right? Oscar Pistorius, was he South African? That guy, the double amputee that had those like carbon fiber, like they look like robot legs. I think the right answer is somewhere in the middle. I feel like a regular person putting on something on their feet that made them, let's say it made you like 2 feet taller or something like that too, and you just strapped them on your feet. Like that, I think would not be, I'd be like, I think we're going a little far, guys. But I don't know where the line is between there. But I know there should be a line. I just don't know where to draw that. Teddy Man Tactical wants to know, there are carbon plate insoles. Do they work for running? I've talked about those before. I mean I don't think that they do. Here's why I don't think that they do. So like with the ad that we've all seen on Instagram or on YouTube is the guy that's like, here's what happens with a regular insole, and it's floppy, right? And he's like, that's lame. And then he takes one of those, like, I think they're a Victory brand, like carbon plated insoles, and he puts it in the shoe and he squishes it down and he lets it go, and then it jumps up in the air super high. And he's like, implying you can have that much force propelling you with every step. The thing that I've learned from shoes like the Endorphin Pro is that not for me, I'm not strong enough to load or press down on that carbon fiber plate like that sales guy does with every step. So like you can make something more stiff, and it could then therefore have more potential recoil. But if I'm not able to make it bend first, that potential recoil is wasted on me. And so like that's kind of what I feel like, you know, making a shoe more stiff isn't the only thing. And I usually just don't like to put in insoles in my shoes. That's my opinion. I guess I should try it. I guess I've talked bad enough about it on a couple of times now. Maybe I should just try it. But yeah. But I'm not that excited about it. All right. Super Smoltz is here. Good to see you. She says, just got back from a 5 mile, hit some slushy mud. Which is more annoying for you, ice or slush? I'm heading out as soon as I can. Mud or ice? I don't mind mud. Ice, you know, has that potential to either like tweak a hamstring, which I knew that, but I've never really experienced that until yesterday or 2 days ago. Or it can make you just fall, which I've experienced that before too. I fell earlier this week. I lost a pair of Tracksmith pants to it. They cut a big hole in them, but because of the fall. But yeah, I think the ice is more annoying to me. Mud, you can usually kind of find your way around it. And or if not, you know, just run through the mud. But like usually mud doesn't make me fall, but it can. There's an opportunity for that, possibility for that. But yeah, I don't mind mud so much. But I would say we went on a walk. We were out there from like, you know, 10:30 to like 12:30. It was very wet. All that snow is melting, so everything is wet. There were certain parts of the path that were just completely waterlogged the whole way through. So runners were like hopping up on the snowbank and to get around the puddle. So that I think is going to be a big concern for this time of day. Remy says, this same conversation used to come up in cycling, but in the end, the better athlete is going to win over a lesser athlete with better tech. You still have to put in the work. Yeah. You know, a lot of people, what's funny about that, Remy, is a lot of people like talk about like, you know, cycling has had this conversation for years, and I think ultimately people say it as a way of saying like, and that's why we should allow just all these shoes. But I'm like, I'm not a cycling historian, and certainly not a cycling technology historian, but I'm like, I don't think it's quite that straightforward that cycling has always allowed anything to go. But yeah, and it is a conversation I think that is much more applicable to cycling, or more naturally comes up earlier in the discussion or more frequently than it does for running. But I also agree with what you're saying here, that it's about being a better athlete. But you know, I think, I guess the question then becomes like, what if you're a mediocre athlete, you know, and you're losing to other mediocre athletes that you might win against, but you don't have the right shoe? So I don't know. I don't have that much. I don't know. I just don't have that much sympathy for the pros, I guess, in that regard. That's my general opinion on it. It's like, that's the date you came with, so dance. You know, that's kind of how I feel about it, and it seems weird. I don't know. Maybe there's bigger fish to fry in terms of people with unfair advantages in this sport. I'm like, and we're worried about shoes. We're spending all this time talking about shoes. I almost went into like, I went into like, this is practice mode, but like, I think there's other things that like that need to happen, you know, in terms of, well, like CV76 has let all the cyclists dope. And I feel like we need to make sure that we're doing a better job of regulating other things that are people doing that are not visible to us, and making sure that we're leveling the playing field that way, you know? Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Cycling definitely doesn't let everything go. There's a wide range of world record setting bikes that were disallowed. That's what I'm saying. But like, people in the running world frequently talk about cycling as they let everything go. It's about letting the technology win. And I'm like, I don't think that's the case. You know? Yeah. And Remy says, don't get me wrong, there are rules and regulations. But personally, I take pleasure in dropping guys on expensive bikes who don't spend as much time as I do to train. Yeah, I mean, that's got to feel good, right? We're talking about practice. Yeah, we're talking about practice. Yeah, I feel like that was a very surreal. I feel like that was a turning point moment in sports. Very surreal moment. Thomas Reinhardt says, legalize all drugs and shoes. I mean, that's like certainly one way to look at it. I don't think I'm quite there. I think that we, you know, the way I see it is, for like a lot of rules, we need to peg it to a purpose. I mean, we can have rules for the sake of rules. Like we could say like no lefties allowed. No records are valid if you're left-handed or if you're left foot dominant. We could say weird things like that, but there needs to be a purpose, right? The reason why we don't allow like performance enhancing drugs, but we do allow like electrolyte supplements and collagen supplements and protein powders, is because with the drugs, there's the potential not only that you can get a benefit that other people might not be able to have, which there's tons of benefits that lots of people have that other people don't. That's obviously not the problem with sport. The problem with the performance enhancing drugs is that there's the potential that you could really hurt yourself. And that's the problem. Testosterone, like taking testosterone, could really mess you up. Taking hormones can really mess you up. And that's the problem, right? And so like, you know, I mean, I guess there's certain kinds of weightlifting where like it's kind of open class, is my understanding, where there's like no questions asked. And they're okay with that, saying like, let people figure out how to get the best out of their bodies. And, you know, we'll let them be adults and kind of figure that out. That's one way of looking at it. But I'm like, we've got to make sure that when there are rules that we're making, to make something like that is not because it's so good or so performance enhancing, but the performance enhancements come with such risk of injury that we're going to disallow it, then we should really, really make sure we're enforcing that, you know? So that's kind of like my opinion on all that stuff. So let's make sure like the rules are sensible, and keep that primary purpose in mind, and then enforce the heck out of it, you know? And then don't overreach either. So, yeah. CV76 says Drago versus Rocky. I love that movie, and I love those two, that comparison between the two as well. And I've also talked many times before how I was like, sometimes I want my nutrition supplements to be like Rocky, and sometimes I want my nutrition supplements to be like Drago. Not the, you know, injections, of course, but, you know, sometimes I want it to feel like it's like the cutting edge technology, and other times I want to feel like I'm carrying like two buckets of water on that giant stick. You know, that's what I want. Yeah. Sue N says, hi, I just came back in from a 10 miler. Nice day in New York for a run. Got my snacks ready for the live stream. Awesome. Welcome, Sue. Good to see you. I hope you had a good run today. I think it's been nice weather for a lot of people today. Perfect timing for the weekend, isn't it? Nice. All right. Steven Gersdorf says, Ultra is putting Ego Foam on the Lone Peak. I know. I'm pretty excited about it. We'll see. George Munroy says, what advice do you have on improving breathing while running? I'm not sure what you mean by improving the breathing while running. I mean, I have certain like paces and tempos, not tempos, but I'd say like rhythms that I use. So like for an easy run, it's usually like in two breaths, like two steps, like left, right with the nose and maybe out with the nose, or out for two, like an inhale for two, like one, two, and then exhale for one, two, either through the nose, sometimes through the mouth. And then as I am working harder and harder, that might change. It might become in two, out one, or in one, out one, sometimes in through the nose, sometimes in through the mouth. You know, so I can change it up. And it just, if it feels like you're just like huffing and puffing a lot on an easy run, I think that's a signal from your body that the pace that you're running is not necessarily an easy pace for you. So I might slow down on some of your runs. Maybe not everyone run if you don't want to, but you know, if there's a run where you're just out there on your own and enjoying the run, that might be a good time to slow it down a little bit. Let your body catch up to your muscles might be ready to run more fat earlier or ahead of schedule than like your aerobic respiratory system. So that might be a signal that you need to work on building that aerobic base, ease up on the runs, maybe spend a little bit more time running, more time on feet, build that system. And then once they're both kind of more in sync, then you can push it a little bit more from there. So that might be something to consider too. Sean Marshall wants to know, is 50 degrees the best temp for running? And why is the answer to that question yes? It's yes, because you can wear whatever you want. So whether you're a hot runner or a cold runner, you're going to be comfortable. Everyone's going to be comfortable, I think. All right. Stephen Grosjean says, run at a pace where you can talk and carry on a conversation. I think that's a good thought. And Will Gravel says, don't overthink the breathing. It should come naturally if you're at the right pace. Also pretty good advice. But, you know, I think usually, Will, though, people that are asking that are like, it's not coming natural to me. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, so I think that's why people usually ask those questions. I mean, I'm assuming it comes naturally to you. And I think it comes somewhat naturally to me, but I do spend some time thinking about it. So that's kind of like how I try to like, I try to take it from the position of someone that's having a hard time. So I think that's probably what it is. Remy, who, by the way, has been running in 2-inch shorts all winter long, says 50 degrees equals no shirt, which I don't know. I think I'm not too far from me on that one. I feel like this year, this summer, it's going to go from long sleeves to singlet for me. I don't think I'm going to spend a lot of time in t-shirts this year. I don't know. I don't know that I'll do a lot of singlet and arm sleeves, because that always seems like it's like I just want to get sunburn on my shoulder kind of recipe, but I don't know. I don't see myself. I didn't spend a lot of time in short sleeves last summer, and I really don't see myself in a lot of short sleeve this year. I think it's just going to go straight from long sleeve to singlet. Terrence Tan says, no choice of temperature when you're running in the tropics unless it's indoors. Yeah, I imagine that's got to be hard. It's just always humid. And as far as breathing paces, Jeff Elliott says, I try to do three to three on easy runs, up to 2 to 2 during tempo efforts. Yeah, I don't know how you maintain like the discipline though. For me and my tempo efforts, I'm usually at 2 in, 1 out, 2 in through the nose, 1 out through the mouth. And it's like a, whew, like I really press it out. And so that's where I'm at. Sometimes towards the end of tempo efforts, I'm at like 1 in, 1 out, because I'm pushing a little bit when I get to that, you know. Chris Dyke wants to know, is it still a PR? Is a PR still a PR if you ran with a strong tailwind, asking for a friend? I'd say, it's not like, unless you're trying to make it, you know, satisfy a world record or anything like that, I think it's okay. I mean, but here's the thing, like, I don't think a PR is a PR unless there's a chip time involved. So like, that's kind of where I'm at on that. So like, you know, I think of it as, you know, I pole vaulted. I don't mean to keep bringing it up, because it's not like it was a huge like part of my life, but in pole vault, you know, we would have kind of two heights. What is your highest height and what's your highest height in practice? So like, you know, what have you done like in competition conditions, and what else have you done like through your practicing, your training, what height have you cleared? And it's always a little bit different. And so I feel like the PR that you've done at a time trial or maybe with a lot of strong tailwind, can be that way. So it's still a PR, but you know, it depends on how serious you want to be about, is it a real PR? All right, Alex Gonzalez, what's going on, Alex? Says, I'm currently trying to recover from my runner's knee and I started to implement your workout that you gave in your video for recovery. How long did it take for you personally to run pain-free? Pain-free probably took over a month, maybe a month and a half. But like I started feeling better within about 2 weeks. Once I kind of figured out, oh, this is what's going on, and here are some things I can do. I spent 2 weeks doing that workout routine after my run. And then I realized, oh, I should put it before my run. I should have more of a warm-up before I actually go run. That's when things started changing over pretty quick. So that took some time. But I think I'm realizing that it takes my body a long time to respond to stimulus. I think that's the biggest thing that I've learned from like this 8K training program. So I was thinking about like the workout where I kind of tweaked my hamstring a little bit on the ice. That workout, I felt really good. And now I'm 4 weeks into the program now. And it wasn't really even until some of the runs at the end of like week three, like those workouts, where I started to feel like, okay, I'm feeling a difference now. I'm feeling stronger. I think part of that is like I started this training program when it was still icy and very snowy out. And so like I just, even when you're working hard, you can't run as fast because like the conditions aren't conducive to that. And so, but I do think it takes me, like most people say, like, you know, you taper 2 weeks out because there's no work that you can do within 2 weeks that's going to help you for your race. I think for me, it's probably closer to 3 weeks. So maybe I need a longer taper, or maybe I could do better with a longer taper. I also think I maybe just need to redefine taper in my mind. But I think it takes my body about 3 weeks to respond to something. And so like that's kind of how long it took for my body to respond to some of the changes for the knee work, and how long it took for my body to respond to some of the speed work that I'm doing. So that's kind of like, I think that's what it is. So that timeline, I think ultimately what I'm trying to say is, will change depending on, how quickly your body tends to respond to a stimulus. All right, we had some other good questions. Abu Jbara says, what are your thoughts about that stability disc? Are you still using it? I still use it like every day. Usually what I do is I have it, it's in the bedroom, like closer to our bathroom. And so I usually stand on it while I'm brushing my teeth. We have an electric toothbrush. I feel like if I were trying to actually like brush my teeth, that would be too much movement. So I try to do some standing on it while I'm brushing my teeth. And then after that, or maybe sometimes before it, I might do a couple of quick like little exercises just to check out my range of motion, just to give like kind of like that instability to the knee, to just kind of like test it out and make it like get stimulated, you know, to make sure that it's still like experiencing all those different like kinds of eccentric loads on it. So I still use it every day. I just kind of keep it in the corner where I might accidentally kind of like trip over it, basically, to kind of force myself to use it a little bit here and there. All right, let's see what else we got here. Runner Dre says, you can't control the weather, and if it helps, so be it. With a winky face. I like that. He said, didn't Ryan Hall get his marathon PR at Boston with a strong wind? Maybe I'm not remembering correctly. Is that right? I didn't know that. FNHSCC says, why does carbon fiber racing shoe you have tested? I believe it's the Hyperion Elite 2, which is what I ran in on Friday. I think that's the widest one. I don't know that like the last, like the toe box, like the shape of like the upper is the widest. I suspect that it is. But I feel like what you're standing on, the platform of the shoe, like the width of that is probably the widest. And I do feel like it gives a little bit more stability, which I don't feel like that. I mean, DNA Flash, the midsole foam on that shoe, I don't think is an unstable foam, even at a taller stack height. But I think where it helps is when you're fatigued later in a workout or later into a long run, I feel like it just helps kind of like make sure things are still flowing and not getting too wobbly. So that's kind of where I think that that's helpful. I think probably second would probably be the Carbon X2. That one also seems to have a very wide base. Paul says, hello, my friend, joining late because I was too busy steeplechasing over the puddles on the lakefront path. Yeah, I was just talking about that a minute ago because we got some other people that might go out for a run later today here. And I was trying to warn everybody, there's a lot of water out there. That, for me, I think is the biggest. I mean, there's still some ice, or at least there was when I was out there walking. By today, by now, probably that ice will melt during the day. It'll refreeze overnight to be ready for me for tomorrow. But I think right now the ice will probably, for the most part, be gone for today. But I think there'll be mud and a lot of water, for sure. Hopefully your feet didn't get too wet or gross today. All right, Alex Gonzalez says thanks, asking about the runner's knee rehab. So those pistol squats were tough to master, but I feel I'm getting better at it. Yeah, you know, I was watching another Bob and Brad video about it too, and I don't think that they love pistol squats, but they were saying there's, because they think that it gets, there's a lot of load at the furthest extensions of motion or furthest ranges of motion that concerns them a little bit. And I think their main thing is they're concerned about people that are not necessarily like people that are exercising regularly, trying to do those. So that was their concern. But one of the ways that they did recommend modifying it is doing a pistol squat into a chair. And I did that a lot in the beginning too. I would do it at the sitting on a step at my in-laws' place, like the steps going up to the porch. I would like sit on, I would do the pistol squat down into like the second or third step. And then sit on it and then pull myself out of that position, like kind of roll myself a little bit out of that position and then stand up that way with the one leg. So that's something else you can do as well. But yeah, that one, I still do the pistol squat single leg on both sides, you know, one on each side. I do still do that one regularly, usually on that balance ball thing, as a way of just making sure like everything still feels right. If it becomes really hard to do, then I feel like, okay, well, maybe I need to, you know, think back on making sure everything's strong again. Or if something hurts in that range of motion, not hurts, but like if I feel like something doesn't quite feel right in that range of motion, then I'm like, okay, I've been neglecting this. Let's get back into it. So I feel like it's a good diagnostic for me. I don't know if it is for everyone else, but I really am a big fan of it. Ross Luff says, good budget half marathon racer. Speed Elite, I think would be a great one. The Artist would be another good one. That's $100. Although, like, I don't feel like it's the fastest shoe. I think I would like it more at marathon pace than half marathon pace. Yeah, I think those would be some. I'd really like to look at the Skechers. What is it? Vanish? Vanquish? That one. Whatever that one is. I think I would like to look at that one. But I don't know. I just have a feeling it's going to be yet another Skechers shoe that's like, Meb can run a marathon in this, but like regular people can run a 10K. Like, I don't want another shoe like that. I'm trying to think of what else would be good at that half marathon distance. Because I'm trying to think of the ones that I really like for half marathon. I like the Meta Racer. I like the RC Elite. But I don't think those are exactly budget options. I think the Hyperion Tempo, if we're talking about non-carbon plated, I think the Hyperion Tempo is a great choice. The Adios 5, I think you get the Adios 5 at crazy, crazy discounts right now. That, I think that'd probably be the first one I would look at. Look at that one first. Sorry, it took me a while to get around to that one, but that one, yeah, I got it. Daithi Corinne says, hey, love the channel. Welcome, Daithi. Thanks so much. Would you recommend the Boston 9 as a marathon shoe for a heavy runner or any other suggestions? I would. I think it's a great shoe. I mean, it's called the Boston. It's meant for marathon training, and for a lot of people use it to run in the marathons. I was for a long time considering the Boston 9 as a marathon shoe. I mean, 2020 then brought like a bunch of really great carbon plated options. So I was like, it kind of fell to the wayside for me, but it's a really great option. So I like that one. And for a self-described like heavy runner, I think it's still a really good option. I'm trying to think if you want to stay in the Adidas family, I think like Solar Boost might be your next choice, but that gets a lot bigger, a lot heavier of a shoe. There's a lot more shoe there, and I don't think people would love it over a longer distance. Although people seem to do really like that shoe. And there's a new one this year, Solar Boost 3. There wasn't one last year, I don't think. But yeah, I think that would be another good one. I think that would be a good shoe. I do recommend it. Well, Terrence says it's Vanish, Horizon Vanish. I'm not sure if they make him. I think they do. I thought they just came out with a new version. I thought, or maybe, I don't know. Skechers is just like, they're making like plus versions, like they're like half version, not even half versions, or just new color. And it's really frustrating. I want them to just come out, like come out with new shoes. Because at this point I'm like, I feel like the Skechers part of Skechers performance is starting to show. And I just feel like they're just trying to extract value from scale of the shoes that they've already been making. And I'm just like, I don't know why I resent that for some reason. Lee Joy says, I like your red headband. Did you see it from your daughter? I did. I just ordered. I'm going to be doing a video on headbands for men coming up. I just ordered a couple different kinds on Amazon, basically because today I've been really liking this kind because I got all these like little wispy hairs that aren't long enough to stay in the man bun. And so I keep stealing my daughter's. And this is like they have this one, I think, is more orange, my wife says. But maybe the camera's making it a little bit more red. They have this color, a pink one that I've been also been wearing a lot. And then they have other ones that have like bows and flowers and other things that I don't really want to wear. So like, I just gotta get my own. So I ordered a couple. So that video's coming up. And now that it's getting warmer, I don't need to wear a winter hat. I didn't wear a winter hat today when I was running. So that's what kind of has me thinking about it. Yeah, Jeff Elliott likes the ring cone for a half. You get the OG ring cone for less than 100. But I'm thinking like, I think the ring cone would be a good choice too. The first ring cone though does fit really snug. Though I'll keep that in mind. I like the fit of the newer ring cone better. But it does make it feel a touch less speedy because of that. And Frank coming with the SL20, also a very good choice. Very good choice. All right. Ben Wine wants to know when the Boston 10 will come out. I think that shoe usually, it baffles my mind that it does that the Boston doesn't come out in February, right? Because you would think for the Boston, people want to like train in it and then have enough time to maybe buy a second pair to race in it. Like that makes sense to me. But I'm sure that there's pricing guys at Adidas that know way more than I do, and they figured out that they could just sell more of the Boston 9 in the lead up to the Boston, like in a normal year, they'd be able to sell that in the lead up to the April Boston Marathon. And then in June, when people are recovered from the Boston Marathon and maybe getting ready for their fall marathons, they'll buy the next new Boston. So maybe they figured that out and they know better. I'm sure they do. But I think it usually comes out at the same time, around the same time as the Pegasus. So like around May, June, I think. Right? Isn't that right? I'm just trying to think. Terrence Tan says, waiting for the Saucony Endorphin Speed to go on sale. I mean, I've heard a lot of people say that. I don't know that it's going to go on sale for a lot. That's my hunch. I think if it does, they're going to get snapped up like that. I mean, it's already a $160 shoe. So like it's a bargain already, I think, for what you get. But, I mean, that's a weird sentence to say. But I do think it's a really well-priced shoe already. And I can totally see, like, people very eager to get it on sale. And from Saucony, most of their shoes do at some point go on discount. But I don't know. I think it's going to go straight from, like, Saucony, the Endorphin Speed 1 full price to Endorphin Speed 2 full price. That's my hunch. Carl J says, Kofuzi, if you were still working in an office, would you still rock the long hair? Finally decided to cut my COVID locks for an interview. I think that like if I were working in an office, I wouldn't have been able to let it continue to grow out. At some point I would have had to have gotten a haircut. But let's say for some reason tomorrow, like it's like, all right, everyone come back, you know. I think I could probably manage a way to I would probably keep the long hair at this point. Although like, you know, I'd have to figure out a way to like do it without this headband, you know. But like I, you know, at least I'm trying to think of like my work. I have a law degree, but I wasn't really using it. I wasn't a lawyer, and so I wasn't practicing law. That's a more accurate way to say it. And so like I think I could probably still rock the ponytail or the bun, not a ponytail, but a bun. I think I could, because I was a consultant, so I was like, I was supposed to be the guy that didn't really look like he worked there anyway. So I think I could probably still do it. I would have to trim up a little bit, get the facial hair a little bit more under control. I would probably just go with, like, you know, full, like, just regular goatee, but trimmed much shorter. And then get rid of all this other patchy stuff if I had to go into an office. All right. Remy says, but I like my solar boost. They're good. I mean, I think Andy just reviewed it. I think Andy really liked it. There just seems to be so much shoe to it, and it seems very heavy, at least with the Solar Boost 3. I really like the Solar Boost 19. And what was funny is, like, I looked at the Solar Boost 19, and I'm like, this is really what the Ultra Boost should be. And then the Ultra Boost 20 was basically the Solar Boost 20. Because I don't think there was a Solar Boost 20. And then I really liked that, but I'm like, but this doesn't feel like an Ultra Boost anymore. It feels like a Solar Boost 20, but I like this shoe a lot. It was one of my favorite Ultra Boosts to run in, was the Ultra Boost 20. And then the Ultra Boost 21 happened this year, and then we got also a Solar Boost 3, which was very much like the Solar Boost 19, I think. But, like, the upper seems to have gotten a little bit puffier. So, like, and I think there's more of the EVA layer, too. There's just a little bit more of everything on that shoe, it seems. But I think people that like the Solar Boost 19 are gonna like the Solar Boost 3. All right. Remy says, I also weigh 190 pounds, so big runner problems. So, maybe it's not as heavy for you, you think? I don't know. Martha wants to know, what's the difference between the Solar Boost and the Ultra Boost? The Ultra Boost is just Boost, and there's, like, a torsion system, like the torsion plate, or this year they have the LEP system. The Solar Boost is basically, it's in between a Boston 9 and an Ultra Boost. So it's a lot of Boost, but it's also a lot of another EVA foam that's in there. And so, like, the Solar Boost is kind of like, the Solar Boost and Ultra Boost lately have been battling for which is Adidas's daily trainer, kind of, lately. I mean, to me, it makes more sense if Ultra Boost is the max cushion, Solar Boost is, like, the daily trainer, and then Boston is, like, their speedier shoe. That makes a little bit more sense. But, you know, I think they've been tinkering around with them. I don't know if they're going to try to make the Ultra Boost more of, like, the daily trainer, and then make the Adios be, like, what the Boston 9 used to be. That would make a little bit more sense to me, given the fact that there is now the Adizero Adios Pro and then the Adios Pro. Like, so since there's new shoes in the Adizero family, you know, I could see, like, they might be tinkering around with that. I think that's what's coming from some of the images that I've seen. And then the Solar Boost and the Ultra Boost sit outside of that. They don't have the Adizero prefix in the names. And so I think that sets them kind of apart in that they're, like, running shoes, but also serve many other purposes as well. So I think that's part of the difference too. Stevie 76, there's been more press recently about Asian hate crimes. Yeah, my wife and I were watching something about that lately too. And, you know, I hadn't heard much about it since like the beginning of like the pandemic. And I would hear stories about like people are being hostile towards like Chinese restaurants and stuff. And like there was a spike in, you know, violent crimes in Chinatown in Chicago. I heard that. But I was also like, I don't know, like the press seems to be making it about like this is something that's happening because of Trump and also the pandemic. But I'm like, I don't know. This has kind of always been happening. It's not new to me. So it's like, I appreciate like the spotlight on it, but I'm like, I'm very skeptical that people actually want to do something about it. That's kind of how I feel, unfortunately. All right. Abud Abujbara says, and this will be the last one for today because, it's already 4:00. I gotta get going. Abud says, I appreciate the way you put yourself in the situation and think when someone asks for advice. Thank you, Kwesi. Well, thank you very much, Abud. I always try to, I mean, that's like, you know, a big part of why I'm here is for, you know, for people who got questions. I feel like it's a really useful way of interacting with people in terms of getting their questions actually answered. So I'm glad that you appreciate that. I'm also here because, you know, it's that time where it's I'm starting to see a lot of running groups out on the path when I'm out there, but I'm not ready for that yet. And I know some of you aren't ready for that yet either. So like, this is the, you know, it used to be this was the next best thing, but this is also now a best thing that's of a different caliber as well. It's become the thing on its own, and like people like you, Abood, and everyone else that's here, you know, make it so awesome that it's now it's its own thing that I will cherish, even when like I'm ready for running groups and races and all that kind of stuff again, you know. So I thank you guys for making this place awesome, especially in light of, and especially in case you guys go to that Sidious Mag and watch that event tonight and are in the chat, it will make you appreciate how great the chat here is. You guys make it great, and I thank you for that. All right, no video for tomorrow, but we will have another live stream. And don't forget, live stream tomorrow, we're gonna have a special guest, Ben Parks, and we're gonna talk about breakfast. I'm gonna grill him on why he thinks that's an appropriate breakfast. Just kidding. It'll be all fun. We'll probably talk about the breakfast a little bit, but he'll be here tomorrow. And yeah, so I can't wait for that. Hopefully you guys will join in as well, bring some questions for him. And yeah, in the meantime, take care, everybody.